Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, what a joy to call you Father. Every good and perfect gift has come from you, our Father. We who are not a people are now your children. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins are alive together in Christ. We who were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We who were children of wrath as the rest have been united to Christ. We who were slaves to righteousness have been buried and united with Christ in baptism, and we walk in a newness of life in His Spirit. Us. All of this we know and rejoice in because you told it to us in your word. We would know nothing, Father, had you not spoken. We would be blind and dead and ignorant and wicked to the core had you not spoken in your beautiful word, which is like a treasure hidden in a field, which is preached to us, and it's like cast out on the ground day after day, week after week. Oh Father, do a work in our hearts that the enemy wouldn't steal it, that the stones wouldn't dry it up, and the thorns wouldn't choke it. Father, let us behold the glory of your word in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this sermon is going to be different in that it probably won't be much of a sermon. So just so you know, I'm going to give just a little bit of introduction here today, and then I'm going to read. We're going to read together. I'll read out loud Psalms 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, and it's next on our list. I'm not going to make you stand as I read it later. It'll take about 15 minutes to read. But I have to confess, when I decided, I have to confess a couple things probably. When I decided to preach through the book of Psalms, this psalm was my heartbeat. I love Psalms 119. I've been looking forward to it for over a year now. And this psalm, like all the others, by Thursday or Friday, I'm like, why am I preaching through Psalms? This is so hard to think through. It's like a jewel that you try to explain week after week in a new way, but God has been very gracious in that. This psalm's author is unknown. You'll notice that if you turn in your Bible to Psalm 119. You'll notice that there's no author. The most educated people would tell you why it's not David, and the most simple-minded commentators would say it has the heartbeat of David. I'm in the latter category. I'm not going to tell you it's him or it's not, but it feels like David to me. A man in love. You don't get a lot of that in the Bible, that passion from people like you do David, that loves what he's putting on paper coming out of his heart. And so that's really my only argument of why I think it's David. It's just the affection of feeling it. But this psalm is interesting. It's 176 verses, kids. When you play trivia next time and somebody says, how many verses in the longest chapter in the Bible, you will know Psalms 119 has 176 verses. But some interesting things about that is these verses are broken down into 22 different sections. And those 22 sections we won't pick up on because they're from the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of these sections is represented from a letter in the Hebrew alphabet in order. So our alphabet is A, B, C, and so forth, right? Well, theirs starts with different letters in a different language, but the writer of this psalm worked his way through the whole alphabet. And what he would do, which is very artistic, is the first eight verses start with, every verse starts with the first letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. And then the next eight verses, the next section, starts with the second letter of the alphabet. And then every one of those verses start with those letters. So if it was in our language, it would be eight verses that start with the letter A, followed by eight verses that start with the letter B. The writer stuck with this rigidly all the way through. And if you tried to do that, you might think, well, that's no big deal. But try to come up with 176 different lines doing that with our alphabet. It wouldn't be easy, and it definitely wouldn't be easy to make it poetic. But I think it's very poetic, even in English. Even though we don't pick up on that, you need to get something from the fact that we have in our Bible this poem, this song that uses the alphabet as a guide to work through it. That the writer of this was inspired by God through His Holy Spirit. Now just think about that for a second. When we come up with silly songs with the alphabet and different ways to memorize things, because it helps us, we wouldn't think that God, in His infinite wisdom and His glory and His beauty, would use something like that to help us out. Would put right in the middle of our Bibles this poem to help our hearts in a way that works with our minds through memorization and through the alphabet. But God, in His condescending love, and His love that's willing to come down to where we are, puts it in this form. And I think that makes it more beautiful. This God who spoke Neptune into existence is willing to put on paper something my little mind can understand and appreciate. So there's 22 sections, 8 verses in each section, and so it goes 176 long. It's twice as long as the next longest psalm. But the theme of this makes it even more beautiful than just the structure of it, because the theme of this psalm is the Word of God. When God said, let me give the children of Israel a poem to read to themselves, to memorize, He said, what's a great, He didn't say this, it's just me paraphrasing. What would be a good topic to do that with? The Trinity? His sovereignty? No, the Word and the centrality of God's revealed Word. The beauty and the usefulness of this psalm amazes me. When we read it, I want you to appreciate just the beauty of it. Some of it is the intricate beauty. Some of it is the simplistic beauty. But just it just goes on and on. I could sit for some time and talk about my love for my wife. But I'll be honest, 15 minutes is a long time to keep coming out with things, right? And I could go longer than she could. But I have more to work with than she does. But it goes on and on, 76 verses, and you'll notice that it's not repetitious. It's not the steadfast of the Lord endures forever, over and over and over. It's something new and a new twist. And yes, it's talking about the same thing, and yes, kind of in the same way, but it's a new twist on it in every single verse. This was written by someone who loved the Word of God and meditated on it day and night. This was not written by a honeymooner that said, let me tell you about my bride. This was written by an 80-year-old, been married 60-something years, telling you about the beauty of his wife over almost a century of meditating. But it's not just beautiful, it's useful. Like a good wife. That the thing you need on your tough days is the good wife. The thing you want on your joyful days is your good wife. This psalm has something for every affection of your heart, every emotion you might go through, every good day and every bad day you'll find in here. For the day you feel like you're getting a spanking, there's a line you're going to notice in here. For the days you feel like you're on the mountaintop and you couldn't have any more joy, there's a line in here. And all of these go back to the Word of God to teach us that whether we're at our rock bottom or we're at the pinnacle of our life, the Word of God has something for us. It's not an abstract thing we set on the shelf like a resource book to find out which bone is connected to the hip bone. No, this is for every day of our life. But not only is it beautiful and useful, but I want you to know that it is a prayer from a person to God. This is not, Psalms 119 is not a corporate exercise. Going through the Psalms, we've done a lot of that, right? Where we've noticed the importance and drew out the fact that God commands us to sing certain things together. He commands us to sing about the destruction of his enemies together. He commands us to sing about our forgiveness together. There's so many things that's written to the choir master for us to come together and sing on a regular basis. This psalm, this longest, beautiful, useful psalm, is for a person to draw near to God with. This psalm, when we read it here in a bit, is about you and your relationship with God. And it comes from, the writing of it comes from the heart, the affections. There's different words used to describe the Word of God in this psalm that we're getting ready to read. And I just want to go over them mainly for one word and for the children. But you'll notice the Word of God in Psalms 119 is often referred to his law, right? So this is Genesis through Deuteronomy is really what the psalmist has in mind as he's building his affection and his poem around God's law, how he created things, the Torah. But not only that, the word law is used often, but the word precept is used often. Kind of getting, the way I would use that is to say a particular law, right? But really, these are just all words interchangeable, all adjectives, if you will. Sometimes, I guess I shouldn't say they're all adjectives all the time. But they're interchangeable, and like a good poet would do, as he's setting down, wouldn't use the same word over and over and over again, right? And so he uses words like law and precepts and testimonies, which is getting at the same thing, the things he has written down and said about himself. And then there's the word statutes, S-T-A-T-U-T-E-S, statutes. It's not statues. It's not talking about, and I thought this for a long time when I was younger. And I would picture statutes made of stone and think, well, that's what he's talking about in Psalms 119. It's not. So for you children, when you see this on the screen, it's just another word for law or command. It's a statute, a precept, a testimony, a command. You'll see the word rules or word. In other translations, you'll see judgments, ways, ordinances, things like that. Now, I want to talk here right before I read it about why Psalms 119 is what I look forward to. When I started thinking about preaching through this book, Psalms 119 is what was beating in my heart. It's because my goal, and David's goal as pastors, as shepherds, as overseers of this church, is that you would follow the great command. Now, we never say it like that, do we? You're like, what? I've never heard him say that. But I want to tie some things together to see what I mean. The great command is that you would love God. So our goal, my goal, week after week in preaching, is for you to love God the way he deserves to be loved. We can't comprehend that. We could all live to 1,000,000 years old. We could preach better sermons than I preach, and we would never comprehend the love that God deserves. The great command is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? Jesus says that. That's the goal. But you can't even start down the road towards that goal until you know God. You cannot love something that you do not know or someone that you do not know. So for you to do the most important thing that Jesus says we should do, namely love the Lord our God, you have to know Him. You have to actually know Him. Now the Bible will tell us all kinds of things about Him, but just knowing about someone doesn't cause us to love that someone. There's a deeper thing that the Spirit works in us to not just know things from the Bible, but to know the person, God, Father, Son, and Spirit through the Bible. But to be honest, and stick with me here on this, if the great command and my thrust in preaching is for you to love God, and I say you can't do that unless you know Him, but there's all kinds of people that really know one another and they don't love one another that way, right? So it's not just you have to know Him, but you have to enjoy Him. You have to get joy from Him. I know many of you, I get my joy from my wife, right? In this human relationships. We can't just know things about God. We can't just know Him, but that knowledge has to do something in our affections, in our inner being, that we would get joy from Him if we're going to love Him properly. You will not love someone you do not know, and you will not love someone you do not enjoy. If the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all you have, then you must know Him with all you have, and you must enjoy Him with all you have. If our joy comes from another source, and we say we love God, that doesn't really pan out. That doesn't go together. You can't say, I love my spouse infinitely, but I spend my time in another country with another family. You would say, well, then you don't love her, right? It just doesn't make sense. And all this knowledge of God, to know Him and to enjoy Him, can only come from one source. Great songs won't do it. Great preaching won't do it. Private meditation in the woods won't do it. The only thing that can give you the knowledge of God that will bring you joy in God is the Word of God. Absolutely nothing else. Now the Word, God will use the Word, or I would say through the Word, use other things to help you understand Him better. But those things apart from the Word will not help you to know Him and enjoy Him forever. It all comes up short without the Word of God. And that's why, week after week, our sermons, our singing, our preaching, our prayers, everything is wrapped around this, because our only hope to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is that this Word will be made alive in us. That we will see God for the beauty that He is. And we will enjoy that beauty. We cannot get any other way. And so we focus on the Word of God. The Word of God reveals the beauty of His Son, Jesus Christ, can only be found in the Word. You will not appreciate Jesus until you know what God has spoken to us. But when you do, when you see that our sins make us worse than what we could ever imagine, and Christ pays for every single sin that we could ever imagine, and we see those two things come together at the cross, the more you go into the Word of God, the more you know God, the less you will think highly of yourself, and the more you will think highly of God. And as you let the Word do this work to show you how low and show you how high, the further the distance grows in your knowledge, the greater the affection will grow in your heart because He's brought you near in Christ. You will only love God in direct proportion to how much you treasure His Word. You will not grow your affection for God apart from Bible reading, Bible meditation, Bible love. I could give this testimony, and I know most of you could too, that you could grab, a friend shared this once, you can graph my life, that when I'm doing good, I'm reading the Bible a lot, and treasuring it and enjoying it. When I'm having a bad season in my life, I'm not. And those two just seem to always go together. And we have to admit, we don't know which one starts and which one leads and which one follows all the time, right? I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But I can tell you, when I'm enjoying life, even in the bad times, my mind and my heart is saturated with God's Word. And when I'm struggling because of pandemics and economic problems and political problems and all health problems and family problems and every other type of problem, I'm saturating myself with problems rather than the Word of God. So in His infinite wisdom, he gave to us Psalms 119 to help us see all of this, to help us not just see His Word, but begin to feel it, and for it to be part of our heartbeat. So the way I want to close this is I want to read to you, Lord willing, Psalms 119. So I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, the ESV. That's what's going to be on the screen, and Caitlin's going to do her best to keep it going. It's 176 verses for us to keep on track with. But if you have an ESV, probably be best if you have that open and just follow right there in your Bible. But if you don't have an ESV, it's probably more helpful to watch the screen. Or if you're like me, your mind will jump when a word is used differently in your translation. And then when you're done thinking about that, you'll realize we're 3 or 4 verses further down the road. So just for the way our minds and our hearts work, use the screen or the Bible, whichever one would be ESV. I'm not trying to sell you on that translation as much as helping us focus on what God has spoken in His Word. Now, you'll notice I skip over the Hebrew alphabet letters and words, namely because I don't know them, and that's beyond my knowledge, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time gaining that knowledge just to know the Hebrew alphabet. So, here we go in our prayers that God would use this to inflame our hearts and enlighten our minds to love Him and enjoy Him forever. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with a longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen a way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm your servant to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of wickedness ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, But now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that I may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I've not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. Your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done what is just and right. I do not leave. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes may shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. Call to me, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord. According to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Please my cause, plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is from far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are the persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimony. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Right now, Father in heaven, the flaming seraphim surround you, crying, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with your glory. The heavens declare your glory. The fish swim as you direct, and the butterflies land exactly where you say. And in our human family of Adam is the only thing that looks at you and says no. Oh God, you would be just to condemn the whole human race to an eternity in hell. And yet, in your love for your Son, you spoke. Oh God, you spoke to Moses, to Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. You spoke to David and Samuel. You spoke to Nebuchadnezzar even. You spoke to Amos. Oh God, that wasn't enough. You spoke in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh into this helplessness of the human race. And just as you spoke to Lazarus, come forth, you have spoken to these, your children. Father, we love your word because it is our life. Your promises are so sure. Longer than the sun endures to burn, your word will endure, that says all those in Christ Jesus will be loved by you forever and ever and ever. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the joy in it. And may you build up this, your church, your bride, with your word, that we might be a holy people, and we might be a happy people, and then might we be a fruitful people. Oh God, we love you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.